Now we'll return to the recording of the Q&A session from the live class.
Okay, I'd be happy to take a few shares, and I'd love to hear about your new belief and a description of your new outfit in particular. So, Mary, let's start with you. What did you experience?
Oh, thanks, Lion. My old belief was I am stuck. What I came up with was I am free to touch the sky and be fully me.
Oh, I like that. I like it a lot. And what was your outfit?
Yeah, I like it a lot, too. My outfit went on for a little bit. It started off like an angel with wings, and there was a lot of iridescent, glimmering, shimmering, sparkling, but then it sort of morphed into a butterfly, and then I had wings on, and I liked it. It felt very authentic. It felt much more comfortable somehow, and the more you talked, the more it kept morphing, but I felt really comfortable.
That's great. Really beautiful. So outfits often morph and change. That's perfectly okay. And, you know, some of them shimmer or change color or they change shape, and others are very solid. So that's great, Mary. Thank you. Let's go to Virginia next.
Hi.
Hi, Virginia. What did you experience?
I ended up with a Wonder Woman outfit, circa the, I can't remember her name. You know the 70s TV show?
Oh, yeah, I remember it well. I think her name was Linda Carter.
Yes, and I think her name was Diana in the show. So my belief was I'm flawed, and I ended up with I am perfectly perfect. That's just what suits me, and yeah, it makes me laugh, too.
That's great. That's great. Laughter is good. You know, they call it enlightenment because you're supposed to lighten up, you know, and people who have lightened up laugh a lot. So that's really great. It means you're getting much closer to your true self when you can laugh. So that's beautiful. Thank you. Okay, let's go on to Susie. Susie, what was your experience?
You know, Lion, I have a strange thing happen because last week, I just couldn't see myself in a house. I never saw myself in the house. I saw myself in the air. I was here and I was there. That was okay, but I couldn't see myself in the house. This time, what was so amazing was that I still couldn't see myself. I was choked with surprise by that. I was like, where am I? Where am I?
Uh-huh.
Then I began to realize I was behind an invisible cloak, you know, like in the movies years ago, there was the invisible man. He became, he became invisible, and he had to cover himself with bandages to be seen.
Right, right. There was a movie in the 30s with Claude Rains. And also in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, they had a cloak of invisibility.
Yeah, that's where I was. I was just sort of, wow, okay, I'm going to take this cloak now to the place where I can burn it up. But I still didn't see the house. Then when the cloak went away and it all burnt up, I feel like there's something that's still going to be revealed. The amazing thing was that when I came out of that, when I realized what I was really standing in, it was this golden gown. It had no seams. It was completely golden. It was elegant from head to toe. It was just captivating for anybody who saw it.
Oh, that's really beautiful. You know, that's the you that you've been hiding all these years under that invisibility.
Yeah, absolutely attractive. Everybody could take a look and see. I was laughing. I'm like, wow, look at that. So that was my experience.
Well, that's really beautiful. You know, that's the you that you've been hiding all those years under the cloak of invisibility.
Yeah, absolutely attractive. Everybody could take a look and see. I was laughing. I was like, wow, look at that. So that was my experience.
That's really beautiful. So it's great that you had and recognized that invisibility was actually an outfit. So that's why it's important to work with a Clear Your Beliefs coach if you can, because there's these tricky things can happen in the imaginal realm. The subconscious mind communicates very clearly, and it was showing you how invisible you've been. So if you have the belief in your life, I need to be invisible to be safe, it's quite likely that you won't be able to see anything in the belief closet because you're invisible. So once you take that outfit off, as you did, your natural, beautiful self shines through. So I'm very happy to hear that. So welcome out. Welcome to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Lion.
You're very welcome. Okay, let's go to Michaela. Michaela, go ahead.
Hi, Lion.
Hi.
The belief I was working with is I don't believe in myself, and I saw like a blob in the belief closet, kind of a block, and then it left. But in the process of replacing that with a more positive one, I moved around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finished, I tried to write it down. And what I got was, I'm divine and able to do anything I want in the world. You know, help people, have enough money, richness, be powerful. I'm just not sure that I've gotten the clarity that I need for that.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw myself in a shimmering, you know, sparkly gown when I looked in the belief closet with a crown and a wand and light, kind of almost transparent. It was beautiful. The thing I didn't see was my face. And I'm wondering if you could comment on whether or not it worked, you know, the whole thing worked, because I didn't see my face.
Sure, sure. The answer is yes, it always works. The question, a better question to ask is what happened specifically? And so this is where working with the belief itself is so important and why it's good to work with a coach, because, for example, the belief, I don't believe in myself, it is a belief, but there's probably something underneath that that's even more core. So there may have been something that happened in your life, something deeper that's underneath that belief, I don't believe in myself. So as an example, and I'm not saying this about you, but you know, someone that might have the same belief, it might be I'm flawed or I'm broken or you know, there's something wrong with me that will never be repaired or I'm a failure. You know, those are the sorts of things that are even more core than I don't believe in myself. So can you identify what that might be? What's underneath your not believing in yourself?
I think, you know, when you said about somebody believing I'm flawed, that made me tear up. So maybe something like that. Something's wrong with me or I'm flawed. You know, my father always called me clumsy and stupid, and I guess somehow that has stayed with me.
Yeah, that's where we get a lot of beliefs, is from our unconscious parents who have their own beliefs about themselves, and they kind of project it out on us. So let me suggest that you get some support from one of our coaches and work with those beliefs, those specific ones, or you can do it yourself in your own belief closet. I'm clumsy, I'm awkward, I'm flawed. And I think you'll get even more powerful results. So this is just the first part of the work, is finding out what's underneath the belief that's at the surface, and find out what's underneath that and then what's underneath that. And down below, there's a core belief that's down at the child level, and that's the one you want to work on. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks.
So we have a number of people who volunteered, and let me just pick someone at random here. So Georgina, let's pick you, and thank you for volunteering, and tell me what you'd like to work on.
Well, first of all, I have a question. You started to work on something, and boy, I must have gone in samadhi or something, because I probably heard everything, and it worked. But all of a sudden, I came to, and I heard you speak again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, oh, my goodness, we're already in a belief. And then because I had been thinking deeply about certain issues during the last week, I thought, oh, I must have chosen that because I think it's a core belief. And I started working on that. But I have no idea when all the leading and guiding that you did to fly in the house and all of that, that's not even there.
Yeah, that's perfectly okay. Is this something that you've experienced in your life at other times when you start to kind of blank out and then come back to consciousness, or is it unusual?
No, I do remember that it used to happen to me when I took Kuna many, many years ago. Kuna is a Hawaiian healing art and has similar concepts to the ones you work with.
Right.
That used to happen, and it reminded me of that. The thing is, I still worked on it.
Okay, good. So first of all, this issue of going blank, you know, some people call it falling asleep. It's actually a way for the mind to say either there's too much going on and I need a break, so it breaks off consciousness, or sometimes it's like, I have to go work on this myself, I'll see you later. So it goes offline and it does some processing and then it comes back. And in either case, it's perfectly fine. So what you may want to do is listen to the recording for that part and just go through the process again using the recording. But it's perfectly okay, this happens. And in the belief closet process, anything that happens is just another belief, so treat it as one and you can't go wrong. So you might have a belief, for example, about being overwhelmed or having too much or I need to get out of here. Or there's a belief that you really didn't want to have to confront. You know, so it might be a belief that came up that you really aren't ready to handle. Any of those things are possible.
Yeah, I know. I just want to handle that belief. The thing is, it's very deep-seated. It probably was created when I was in the womb, and that belief is, I'm not safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The thing is, when I was in the womb, it was during World War II, and my mother wanted to abort me because of the horrible, horrible times that she was going through.
Oh.
And in fact, she had to flee because of the Russians coming 2 days afterwards. And I think all these things, being refugees, my mother not having anything, her husband not there, I think that is so deep in my subconscious that I think that at times I go back. And I used to have nightmares, even though I was perfectly safe. In fact, one time when I was living in a mansion in England, and yet I was afraid of not having a roof over my head.
Yeah, this is so poignant. It really reflects both the in-womb and the infant time. Because when you're in the womb, you're merged with your mother. You know, you were feeling her feelings. You're eating what she eats. You're breathing the oxygen she breathes. So we experience her beliefs and her feelings directly as if we are her. And then when you're born, you get this primal separation, but you still need her, so you're clinging to her, and you're still merged with her feelings and in her field and picking up on her experiences and her responses. So everything she was feeling, you were feeling. You know, your first years of life were filled with this trauma, with this horrible situation of the world not being safe and you not being safe, and she wasn't feeling safe. So it actually went directly into you as a deep program. You could say that you're a post-traumatic stress survivor. You had this traumatic stress in your first years, and it's what everything else was built on top of. So getting to this core belief of I'm not safe is very powerful for you. Were you able to clear the belief?
Yes, but I have to tell you that I laugh because everybody is saying, oh, what glinting garments they put on and sparkling and all that. All my life, I mean for decades, I've been working on enlightenment and all these wonderful things. In this case, it was very, very odd. When I was consciously working with you, I saw the garment that I had of not feeling safe. I looked like an angel with these sparkling little wings on, a kind of see-through dressing gown. You could almost see all my skin through it.
Was this the I'm not safe feeling?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, let me speak to this, because sometimes you get an outfit that's unusual, and in this case, this would be unusual. So what it says to me is that what you did when you were little was to basically dissociate from the unsafe condition, from those awful feelings, and you went to a place where there are angels protecting you. So being unsafe actually got you to that spiritual experience of feeling angels protecting you, and they protect you in your life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why it's an unusual outfit for the belief. It's because feeling unsafe for your subconscious mind means I'm here with the angels.
Yeah. And the other thing I remember, when I was like 7 years old, I loved to put on costumes, frou-frou dresses with little crowns and whatnot. I was like a little ballerina. Anyway, I had this on, but you could practically see my skin through this outfit. See?
Sure. It means that you have no protection. So a see-through outfit means that it's you're transparent, you're vulnerable.
It's unsafe for me, you see. I had good success burning it, the funny thing is very contrary to what everybody else chose as an outfit.
Yeah.
Well, I just lost my husband, and he left me with an abundance of debt and a company that is just bleeding. And if my sister wasn't helping me, I would actually be out in the street without a roof over my head.
This is
very interesting. Yet in my life, I did so much to be independent. Degrees and everything under the sun.
What was the new belief that you created?
I have everything I need to do the work in the world I have come to do.
That's great. Okay, now describe the outfit that appeared when you created that belief.
That outfit appeared as a black designer power suit.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful.
However, with a very feminine chiffon blouse with frills on the sleeves and collar, and I have very long hair.
Oh, that's perfect. Great, I got it. Thank you for that description. It's perfect for you.
What came was assertiveness, and that's exactly what I need right now.
Sure, sure. So you got the experience of assertiveness in a power suit as well as having what you needed. I think that's beautiful. So thank you for that. So you're doing everything great. So this kind of really deep belief of I'm not safe, it may take a few sessions to work on at deeper and deeper levels, but you're doing great. So thank you. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you very much for your help.
You're very welcome. Okay, so let's take one more person to work with. David, go ahead.
Yes, when we wrote down what we believed about ourselves, something else bubbled up when we started the process. I heard something say, I'm not worthy. I came to an outfit that was quite lovely. I was dressed as royalty. I could see this very traditional kind of robe, velvet, deep red, with a white trim, something that you see on a king. But I could just see it from the back. I couldn't see the front of myself. And when I forced myself, it felt like it was a force to see the front of myself. I had on this green velvet outfit that felt like I was some woodsy guy. It was kind of cool.
That is very cool. What was the new belief?
The new belief was, I'm worthy. I'm worthy of having what I need and want.
That's beautiful. Thank you. I wanted to check to make sure it was a good representation. So you saw this front and the back, which were different, which is very typical of some belief outfits. How did you feel in this new belief outfit?
Well, that's the interesting part. I felt good. I looked at it and said, wow, this is a really amazing outfit. It was certainly better than the old one, but it's very heavy. The back and the front didn't even match.
Yeah, that's interesting. So the wonderful thing about the belief closet, it's full of surprises, and it's endlessly interesting. Now, this is the first time that I've heard this particular kind of outfit appearing where the front and the back are different, but it always makes sense in some way. So let's take a look at it. So if you were unworthy, I could imagine that you wouldn't have very much responsibility. So if suddenly you're worthy, you might have to take on a bunch more responsibility, which would feel heavy, which might be a good reason to stay with the not worthy part. So, hey, you know, this is a good deal. I'm not worthy. Nobody's going to have to give me anything to carry. And a king has a lot of heavy responsibilities.
You're right. It's not worth it.
Yeah, so that makes sense to me. So that's why the subconscious would say, well, it's kind of a heavy outfit.
Yeah, it was hard for me to fly away from the house with it on.
They're kind of dragging you down a bit, right?
Yeah. Also, it was velvet, like a heavy material.
Which is very royal, right? Velvet was worn by royalty.
Yeah. I just thought it, when you said that about being worthy, you have responsibility. To me, being a king, being royalty, entails a heavy responsibility. More than a responsibility to yourself, I mean, it entails the responsibility to yourself, but it also entails a public responsibility.
That's right, like any political figure, like the president or king or prime minister. Yeah,
that's that's really interesting.
So what do you get out of the front and back being different? What do you imagine that might mean?
Well, the first thought that comes to mind is that the way I see myself and the way others see me.
Right, right. That's very good. So, you know, people see us differently than we see ourselves. And I think that's a very wise and good interpretation, which is great. So it's true that other people see us differently than we see ourselves. So that's another signal from your subconscious mind to just note and just say, well, that's interesting. So others were seeing you from the back, right? Were they seeing your back or from your front, do you think?
From my back.
Okay, good. So just notice that it has two different feelings to it and accept that as the subconscious's way of communicating that to you. So you can sink into those feelings and take them back into the belief closet or work with a Clear Your Beliefs coach to go deeper into this exploration.
Yeah, I actually feel lighter now about it.
That's great. That's great. Thank you so much. All right. Well, we're going to close now, and so we wish you all well, and we will see you the next time. Bye-bye, everybody.